football on off the ball.
Yeah, I've just been told that we've broken a few records tonight, which is nice, and I'm delighted for the players, because as sloppy as we were last week, they were excellent tonight. We really were. They controlled the tempo, the energy in the game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
England's World Cup dream over. That's the front of the Telegraph this morning. The hurt endures. Football isn't coming home. Sorry, it's very bad, right? But I'm really enjoying the pictures of the crying children at the end of the games. It's bad, isn't it? It speaks of us, ill of us as human beings, that when it happens, the French kids the night before, but last night, the perfectly manicured, like it was if AI, the face paint is coming and it's just that dribble of white makeup, like a roll over mascara after a particularly good night out. Not having it.
No, that's true. But adult tears?
Oh, feed me them. Well, I actually quite like most of the players.
We've been saying that for a few years about the English, haven't we?
Although I do think that Dan Byrne, I'm the greatest header of the world. And it's like, oh yeah, just head a few balls away there in the last few minutes there, buddy. Just all you have to do is one job. Can't do the job, can you?
It's a bit different when the balls are coming in from Lionel Messi and Mexican players, isn't it?
Yeah. Amazing game, though.
End of the world, taking it totally normally. That's Pickford. Pickford's positioning for the first goal. Does it make it look good? Does he get his feet sorted out quick enough? Does he hold any blame for it?
It's a good strike.
John Stones bang his head off the ground? Is that what happened? Was he concussed?
Not sure. There was a video of Jude Bellingham after that first goal that was caught just by the director, where he's holding his hands up to the sky and you can see in his lips and he's saying, it's in the middle of the fucking goal.
Mm. Oh, is that what it says? Mm. Oh, right. I hadn't seen that one yet.
So he's not impressed with the...
He found a corner.
Jordan Pickford.
It's just because he was...
No, he didn't actually. It was pretty central.
But it's like a fade.
Was it?
Curling towards the corner.
The draw?
Yeah, but it was definitely left off centre. It wasn't down the middle.
It wasn't directly down the middle, but
it finishes there, but...
I don't know if it was there. I don't know. My first instinct wasn't that Pickford.
No, it's...
But he was lining it up. I mean, that was his fourth attempt, Enzo. And just before that, Pickford tipped it over. It was going over, actually, that one beforehand. It was a remarkable game. You see that stat the BBC Mark Chapman shared at halftime? Not since 1966. There's never a shot by either team by the half-hour mark. It was mad. And yet it was this entertaining first half. There was the only real note of football in the first half was Enzo's first of four shots that went marginally over, that they wanted a corner for and they weren't given. And it basically, the rest of the first half was just a load of shithouse.
The best part about that first 30 minutes was that the Argentinian players relentlessly fouled the England players, and somehow it was an English player that got the first booking of the game.
Well, he gets booking because all three of those players who tackled Messi should have got booked.
They were all bookings, but it's
Spence got away with that one. Like Spence was the initiator.
Spence bumps him into.
But like Anderson, as of the start of the second half, both Argentinian centre halves were booked. They were excited, like this was nil-nil.
They should have done something with that, shouldn't they?
Yeah, definitely.
You think
you could spot them, you could spot like Harry Kane looking at Lisandro Martinez when he gets yellow carded. And you can spot like the licking of lips when Christian Romero follows. But the first chance of note in the second half is Julian Alvarez. Twice in a few seconds. First shot saved, goes back to him a few seconds later. Skins three English lads, side netting. That was the warning. Mm-hmm. And England take the lead. Now, when England took the lead, I don't know about I thought, that's fair enough. This is a pretty even game. Kind of going back and forth. I was like, that's fair enough that I won the look. So up to that point, it was going fine. But look, it's been said already 1,000 times and more since the full-time whistle. And we're only a few hours on. It's like, what was he doing? What was he doing with the substitutes? So there was 25 minutes to go.
Shearer in commentary is like, yeah, this is exactly, you know, it's worked really well for us in the last two rounds. So he can't really now in the next few days come out and be like, well, it was obviously a wrong decision. But I was reminded of watching Ireland or Big Mick whenever we'd go 1-0 up. There was always like a very defensive substitute. You take off a winger, put on an extra defender, and you're like, I wonder, have you practiced having a load of extra bodies back there? Like, whose job is it now to do the thing that everybody knew exactly what the role was? You know, those Gaelic football teams that don't know what to do with the extra man. Now, obviously, teams are getting much better at it. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons why, traditionally, back in the day, oh, she's sometimes a 14 against 15 is better. Well, that's because you've never played or practiced properly with the extra man. And the first management teams would do like, whoa, look at this, look how prepared they are. They had a plan for a man getting sent off. And it looked like Rooney was saying that 5/6 at the back at various stages. What are you?
I think like Rooney nailed it. Like Rooney was brilliant actually in his analysis. I don't know if you heard it. I know you watched it after as well as I did. But he said, and I felt, I'd say all of us felt this, did we? He said, as soon as it went 1-1, we're not going to hold out here. It actually, England were like Egypt.
England
were like Egypt against Argentina. It was like, there's not a chance they're going to hold out here.
Yeah, I did feel exactly the same. But Rooney was like, didn't I tell you? Just you have to tell everybody at home that I actually said this in real time.
Was doing a lot of that as well, didn't I tell you?
I do wonder how much of it was down to Thomas Tuchel and how much was down to the players. Look, Tuchel did make substitutions that were aiming towards what they did.
Yeah, and Harry Kane, said the message came on to try and score another goal. But like, look, I think, so Rice goes off and everything happens after that. And you made the point pre-show that Rice looked bollocks. And he did look bollocks.
Yeah.
But it's also, are you better with a bollocks Rice than Dan Byrne? I would argue, yes.
Yeah.
Because you still have your centre backs. Now, maybe it's the Stones thing, but then take Stones off.
Yeah. No, I actually think he might have been injured or carrying a knock or something that Rice couldn't play on.
Declan Rice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he's still sick.
Yeah. So I think you're better off taking him off in that case. I don't know, but like in terms of who you brought on, like it's a weird one because even Tony comes on at the end of the game, right?
Yeah.
So that means Cobby Mainoo was the only outfield player that didn't see any minutes. I was like, I'm surprised you even try Mainoo in there or someone else. But Rice at 0-0 right before England went one up, like he was on his haunches, like, and I was like, this is really early in the second half. Like, this guy's not going to see this game out.
Yeah,
he looked
I've
wrecked.
No doubt that, like, the stomach bug and the injury combined have left him. But
is he got to the place where presence alone you keep him on? Is he that stature?
Well, I just think that he's
Harry Kane.
I don't think there's any world in which Dan Byrne improved that situation last night. Like, I just don't.
Dan Byrne thing. Cast your mind back to when it's happening live. When he comes on, do you at least understand what he's trying to do? It's like, okay,
there's some crosses coming in.
They're anticipating that there's a lot of crosses coming in. Because England got jammy a couple of times.
There's always the bit where the crosses are coming in.
I'd say by Pickford too, actually.
Why are the crosses coming in? Can we maybe stop some of the crosses as opposed to like, sure, yeah, you keep firing those crosses in there because we've got a big lad who can save them. Mm. And then there's a great picture for one of the goals where Martinez is heading it in and Dan Byrne's at the far post. They all get sucked into the situation and you're like, you know, there's other people. Your job is, look, it's a World Cup semi-final. They're absolutely bollocks. All of history, the weight of 60 years is on them. And they make mistakes. I do understand that. But I think that...
How do you fix the home stretch problem that England have? You saw it against Italy at the Euros in the final in 2021. And the Spain game 2 years ago in the final in the Euros again was there for them. So this is like a Cork hurling thing. It's like, how do they get over themselves here?
I feel like it's a mindset thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
but that's how do you change that?
They've got the players. Like, if I felt like... It's like England defaulted to their previous settings here with the last after they went ahead. They had 12% possession between their opener with Anthony Gordon and then Martinez scoring the winner. 12% possession between the 50-ish minute, 54th minute to the 92nd minute. And you've got all of the Premier League stars in the world on the pitch that are supposed to be the best players in the world, supposed to be the best footballers, supposed to be the most physical. And they can't keep the ball at all against an Argentina side that have been quite slated throughout this tournament as not very good, only good at getting in your face. Whereas, I think the Mainoo as a substitute, for example, Dan Byrne coming on, that's a negative substitution. And it's a philosophy thing where just you're thinking, are we better taking these crosses and sitting back, Or maybe if we kept the ball, these crosses wouldn't be coming in.
Yeah,
and maybe if we get our players on the pitch, they can keep the ball in pressure situations. Kobbie Mainoo's fantastic at doing it. It's what he does best. When he's pressed with the ball, he can get out of any sort of situation.
Well, that's not overrate Kobbie Mainoo in the absence of
if you're talking about his strengths as a player, that's what he is strongest at. If you press him, he can get out of those situations. I'm not saying he's the best in the world at it. I'm saying that's what he's very good at.
He obviously doesn't trust him enough. He should have played him before then to throw him in for the last 10 minutes and then the opportunity for him to be the scapegoat as opposed to...
Yeah.
So the substitutions that Southgate made in the Euro final, Cole Palmer comes on after 69 minutes. Sorry, Ollie Watkins comes on first after 60 minutes, then Cole Palmer and then Ivan Toney. They're the three subs he made. This is the Southgate, what a loser he is. Always making these offensive substitutions. Is that what happened? He took off Kane, Foden and Mainoo.
I think the Southgate comparison is it's not lazy, but it's not fully accurate either, because I don't think Southgate's intention was to continually drop deeper and deeper. It just kind of happened under him. But Tuchel went out of his way to make sure that this is exactly what was going to happen with the 5-4-1. And it just set up as... And actually, sorry, the GC, the England players talk amongst themselves trying to figure out who was where.
Yes, yes.
That was mental. I thought this is Thomas Tuchel.
The ball is up the left wing position and the commentary are the commentary seemed to know exactly what's happening, but it seemed like they were coaching them. Nico Williams is going to go midfield and...
Anderson was asking who's centre mid, and so Nico comes on and says, "You're midfield and I'm here," and you could see them, and the camera panned back out for the overview, and you could see them still talking amongst themselves. The ball was in play.
I did see as well for after Enzo's goal, how quickly Dan Burns' hand comes over his mouth to say something to John Stone. So maybe it was something along the lines of that as well. It's what do we do here?
Well, so Bellingham has this desperate tackle to try and stop the Fernandes shot. So that seemed like a miscommunication too, because England have so many players
the behind the goals, Anderson cheats over to try and be in complete no man's land between the ball coming across and where... So he actually had him. He has Fernandes. He has him very close to him. And then he looks away and suddenly he's drifted into the pocket for shooting... For his nice little curler, straight at Jordan Pickford that dies at the end, into the corner.
Yeah. It did take about 2.5 minutes after the game before the English media turned on Thomas Tuchel, and we have debated whose fault it was for this defeat. And in Jamie O'Hara's mind, there's absolutely no question.
You can almost accept it.
I know.
You're playing against Argentina. Yeah. You can't sit off for 25 minutes against Argentina. He absolutely bottled it. Thomas Tuchel's cost us the World Cup. He cost us the World Cup. We're 1-0 up. Played well first half. All right, cagey affair. We go 1-0 up. Be brave.
Mm.
Be brave, Thomas. This is what we brought you in for. We brought you in for this moment. We got rid of Southgate because he bottled it, because he weren't brave. We brought you in for now to make that decision. We're 1-0 up in a World Cup semi-final. Bring on Rashford. Bring on Saka. And if they score, they score. But at least we're going to go down fighting. At least we're going to go down with some pride. We fell out of the World Cup in disgrace because of him. Because of him. And we brought him in for this job. This is what we brought him in for. To get us over this line. And it's the same old England. Same old crap. Same old guff. That I have to watch every tournament that we're in. And it's the manager's tucked us up again. Tucked us up. We're dead on our feet. Got Morgan Rogers playing right wing. Jude Bellingham on the left. Brings on Nico O'Reilly. We can't get out. Harry Kane's done nothing. He's dead. Nothing. Got nothing left.
I
can't believe it, Jace. Well, no. Jace, I can't believe it. No, it's a disgrace.
He
should be sacked. Get him out. God.
Get him out.
Tucked us up.
Get him gone.
Tucked us up in bed. Nice and cozy in our Harry Kane pyjamas.
I have the subs.
From
last night, just as a recap, right? So Konsa was the first one, came on for Gordon, the goal scorer, 72 minutes. So it started there. Now, the Dan Byrne effect did not take place until the 82nd minute. He came on for Reece James.
So just Gordon comes off, that means they're going essentially 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, right?
Konsa's for Gordon is the right-hand side, but deeper.
So Konsa went right back when he came on.
Yeah.
And so...
left wing. I say a right back for left wing.
So what is the team then?
That's So, or Reece James would have gone into midfield?
I think Reece James goes right wing back. I actually don't think he goes right back. I think he goes right side of a three.
Konsa.
Yeah.
Oh, did they go three that early? I thought they only went three when Burn came in.
Well, otherwise, who's on the left wing to replace?
Well, Rice and James came off at the same time.
But that's later.
That's the 82nd.
That's 82nd minute. So they're still 1-0 up throughout all this.
Gordon comes off and I think they go three centre backs at that point. Or unless Ezra Konsa goes, they're still a back four and he's on the right, but then your left wing is suddenly...
No, it's the left wing's Jed Spence up and down the wing.
And so you've no left back?
If they've gone for...
Konsa right three, back. If they've your gone left back three, is now two. John Stones. But it is 3-5-2, that's what I'm saying.
At this point, for the first substitute, Konsa on for Gordon, is Konsa right-sided centre-back.
Yeah.
The two existing lads, centre-halves, and the right-back pushes up.
Reece James and...
Left-back pushes up. And then so you have a concentrated effort, right? So that's for 10 minutes. And you know what's interesting? England actually had a half chance immediately after their goal when they went 1-0 up. Nothing came of it. It was crossed into the box and cleared away.
Was it only a half chance? There was a reasonable one that was like, ooh, 2-0, that's a ball game.
It's kind of forgotten about post-match, but they had a very minor chance to go 2 up. So then the 82nd minute is the kind of, that's what everyone will talk about. And this game will be talked about for years. This is one of those ones that it'll be referred to a lot in the next few years. In this era of constant content, that one will stand above most. Byrne and O'Reilly both come on. That's a double sub for James and Rice. And then you have two very, very late changes. Two strikers come on in the 96th minute, Rashford and Tony, for Spence and Stones. It's almost irrelevant at that stage because they're just booting the ball along. And then again, when they go 2-1 down, they start booting it along again. And then they're not even a threat, but they're at least they're a semblance of trying to do something as opposed to what they did in a 12% possession between going 1-0 up and 2-1 down, which was sweet F all.
They weren't very good at booting the ball along either, were they?
No.
Now the question is, does Tuchel just not believe in his England team and that's why he went ultra defensive? This is Trapattoni Ireland stuff.
Well, after the entire tournament of playing Matawake, he doesn't even get a minute in this
game. Doesn't get a second.
What's the story?
What was Bukayo Saka's tournament about? Because this guy was, you know, probably top three most important attacking players for England in the last half decade.
It has to come out that Saka pulled something
in
the final 48 hours before the game. Otherwise, it just looks worse and worse. Do we think there's any possibility Tuchel gets the sack after this?
Well, Miguel Delaney was very strong in calling for that. And so is our boy Jamie O'Hara there. Maybe plenty others. I don't know. I don't know about sacking, but he'd want to prove he's learned from that. But he won't get an opportunity to do that for 2 years. And they'd have to go deep.
Nothing matters.
It doesn't matter. Qualification for England, it does not matter.
The Nations League,
it doesn't matter.
Well, you'll play good teams and you can... And actually, it's... You'll play good teams who care less about it.
Yeah, and that's fine. And then, when full-time whistle goes and they beat a big team in the Nations League and they say, that was very good, they've evolved. But it doesn't really matter until it comes to the tournaments. And people aren't going to care until it comes to the semi-finals or finals of the Euros or the World Cup when it comes to England.
You can have a cultural...
You could, no, I'm sure...
...reset where you get into the players, look, we're going to be aggressive, we're going to make those aggressive subs, we're not going to do that three at the back, five at the back, six at the back...
We've seen the damning statistic from Opta Joe. England have been eliminated every time they face a top 10 ranked nation in the knockout stages of the World Cup since 1998.
It was funny because John Bruin said at the start of this tournament when we first spoke to him, I asked him, what does he think is going to happen to England at this tournament? And he said, the same thing that happens at every tournament. As soon as they meet a good side, they'll get knocked out. I think that's happened again. It just happened later than we expected it.
Later on in the tournament?
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Because Norway were fine. They were good. Norway, good side.
They were
good.
Decent, yeah.
And then before that was Mexico. Mexico was kind of a great event for them. But they should be beating Mexico all day. Mexico are pretty average. And then you have the group stages, which say second half against Croatia, they were excellent, particularly to start the second half. After that...
Can we mention Argentina as well? Because they're also part of this team. Part of this game.
I've seen the behind the goals footage of Pickford, his positioning for the first goal. It's not great.
No.
And Anderson totally... flies to shit drawn to the ball.
Yeah.
You might have noticed during the anthems that it looked like several of the Argentinian players were ready to kill someone. And then also the first 30 minutes are what the first 30 minutes were. Romero came out after the game and he said that Lisandro and me, we were on fire before the game because of what Gary Neville said. In England, they love to speak before, We send him a big hug. I hope I'll not be like him when I retire. I will not criticize players. So I don't know what Gary Neville said, right? But this is the clip from the overlap pre-game. And it's my assumption that this could be what Romero is talking about.
I think we're faster. Listen, hear me out. I think we're faster.
You asked the question 5 minutes ago.
I think we're faster, quicker. I think we've got a better squad.
Do you think they'd win?
I think we'll just get over the line.
No, sorry.
It's penalties. It's penalties.
Just the
right. It's penalties. It's penalties or it's like a...
Let's have a bet. Let's have a bet for charity.
Hairs breadth.
Okay. Jill's charity?
Jill's charity. Jill's charity.
Okay. A bet for charity.
I'll go by Argentina.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we nearly won the bet yet? What's happening, Kieran? Am I jumping to go?
We've got to go again.
We'll go £1,000. Argentina. I'll go England.
I'll go England as well.
Okay. So are you going against both of us, £1,000 each? Or?
Fuck off. It's your men.
Sorry.
I don't like people swearing.
That's £100.
That's a fine.
That's a fine that goes into the tin.
Yes.
I think we could score three. Mm. I think
you get Messi.
But I think they could score three. It's like stupid.
Yeah, but Messi, they could score four. Messi, could you honestly sit here and say Messi couldn't score four against us in our defence?
No, I could see us winning 3-1 and then them coming back with two goals in the last 5 minutes. I can see they just never give in. Even at three goals, I think we would be.
Yeah, but it's not the same as how I felt with Ireland. There's never comfortable until Ireland came off,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's with Messi. You're never going to be in a game, even if we're 3-1 up thinking...
If he's there.
This is... No, so you know what I mean? It's...
So what are you saying? They're going to beat... Do you think they'll beat Argentina?
I think we'll beat them.
Don't talk about Ireland.
Can you hear? Anyone else heard that? I do find the same with the English pundits and fans, that they're like the players. Now, I don't know if this is unique to England. Maybe we'd be the exact same. But I do find them consciously trying to be very positive about England during the experience. So when Gary Neville's predicting an England victory, you hear in the background there Ian Wright saying, yes, Gal. Yes. Notice on the BBC, I watched the BBC coverage last night. Alan Shearer was apoplectic at the decisions in the first half. There was one moment where John Stones, I think, went down pretty easy. And in the replay, it clearly showed that he went down without much invitation and it was a silence in it. It's like, okay, I understand they're quite biased. But I know in the full-time coverage on BBC, Joe Hart interrupted the question from Mark Chapman to say, can we just pay tribute to these players behind us? They've been warriors the whole time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel they really consciously go out of their way to be as positive as possible, because I don't know if the net default in the English psyche and the culture in football is negativity, mass negativity. They try to protect players.
That's Joe Hart in particular as well. He's quite like that.
It was just all night.
Just on the Gary Neville thing, there are further comments that I'm just saying now that he said... I call them the best, worst centre-back pairing in the world, because at times they can be unbelievable, but the next, it's the sublime to the ridiculous. So maybe that's the one he's talking
about. It is true. It is like...
He's spot on.
The two of them, either of them in your team, you'd be like, okay, grand, we're going to have one absolute potential nutcase have a moment that's going to be a really significant brain fart. You put the two of them in and you're thinking, oh my God, you can't, they couldn't possibly survive all the way to a World Cup final as they have done.
Look at the Romero microcosm of his psyche, where he has this amazing moment in the box to get out of danger, couple of touches, gets out of danger.
It's class.
2 minutes later, he gets booked for pulling Jude Bellingham back for absolutely no reason. Like, that is literally the sublime to the ridiculous.
What's the story with Argentina?
A good side? I don't know.
Do they need to go? They need to go a goal behind to start playing. As soon as they went 1-0 down, right? As soon as they started battering England with the ball.
Yeah.
They had no interest in playing in the first half.
I wonder how much of that is that England.
Deliberate.
Yeah.
I wondered. Well, I'd say get in the English heads, wear them down mentally, start playing ball.
Also, their best player is really old. And he doesn't have the full 90 minutes of.
He lost the ball 15 times in the first half.
I saw that, yeah.
Mark Chapman shared that one as well at halftime of BBC. And it's great. I know there was one more. He won a few frees and he was still causing problems, because Rooney made the point, and he's very, very correct in this, is that like creative players will lose the ball. They are trying to make something happen. The risk-reward thing is you're going to cede possession at times. So he did that loads. Didn't affect him. But he does a lot of walking in the second half and then he comes to life.
Yeah, that heat map they put up at the M's class.
That when he drops the shoulder for the winning goal for the cross, it's a throwback to what he used to do 10 to 15 years ago that he still is capable of.
There's a gif which has immediately become... canon. going round of Bellingham and him talking, and Messi's like, "Oh yeah, really? Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, I'm gonna get you." What time is it? What stage of the game is that?
That was really early.
The end of the first half,
within the first 10 minutes.
Was it?
That was when he was nodding along, and he was like, "Okay, do you want to play that type of game, kind of thing?" And I think it was Bellingham he was talking to.
It was totally Bellingham, yeah. Because at the end of the first half, he's over at the referee for ages, and there's a few enough English players around. One of them is there going, "I'm gonna just pay attention to this now, so you don't."
Is this at the end of the first half when England win a corner, but the ref blows it up?
Yeah.
So the England players naturally enough are protesting. I want, because Messi is in his ear as well at that time, when, because that decision favoured Messi and he was still in his ear.
Yeah. I think he was unhappy about the fact that he'd been fouled two or three times before somebody got booked. There was like, the English papers were all like, "Oh, foul Messi, get a card." Mm. There was four fouls before, it should have been cards, which probably is true, that, you know, but actually he had been fouled a couple of times. I don't think the referee was wildly in favour of Argentina.
I don't think the referee was great.
No, I didn't say it's great.
I have to say, I think he let that game get out of control very quickly. It's not an easy game to ref, obviously, but...
But I don't think he's biased.
He did well
I agree with that.
He did well to pull it back, though.
Yeah, like...
Maybe the Argentinian players, because naturally they had more of the ball in the second half.
I think when he booked the two centre-halves, they knew we're going to get in trouble here. Mm. We got to calm down a bit. He just started booking lads earlier.
Simeone was going to get sent off.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I said that Jed Spence tackle, that would have gone down as their updated, like, Terry Butcher type thing, like, where it was an unbelievable tackle. If Simeone had a left foot, like, that was probably 1-0 at that stage. I think that... No, was that 1-0 England or 0-0? The Jed Spence tackle.
That was, I think it was 1-0.
It was 1-0. Right after, yeah. It was their first major chance. And then they're battering England. Like, they hit the post a couple of times. Pickford makes a very good save. They come closer and closer and all that. But for England, I don't know, like, they're just... they're not that great. Like, you're on about these... You were saying there earlier, like, these Premier League stars. And you go through the team and it's like, suddenly... The last half an hour is like, geez, they look quite ordinary. You know, like, they're two star players, anonymous, Kane and Bellingham. There was a moment where Bellingham got the ball right at the end when he ran down the left wing with it and he was just cornered by three Argentinians. There wasn't an English player in sight. They'd given up, lost belief, hoping against hope that they'd see the game out.
Yeah. Maybe they're just wrecked as well. There is the possibility that they...
I think when you're... Yeah, but I'd say... Even everyone out there, like, playing any level of football at all, when you're wrecked and then you deliberately get more defensive, you become more wrecked.
I get it. I do. But there is also the grind of the Premier League. And look, it's not to say that...
You could say the same thing about the...
There's fewer of them. The United players played 30 games last season.
In fairness, but the two England stars don't play in the Premier League. So there's, you know...
No, but they both went deep in, I think...
There's loads of mitigating factors there, but like...
Anthony Gordon's the first Premier League scorer for England. And he's not a Premier League player anymore.
Yeah, just about, yeah. And he got taken off really early. Like, yeah, it's some bizarre decisions.
I know what you're saying about the England team not being all that great. I agree with you as a whole of the setup. But at the same time, you're talking about a midfield setup that has Premier League winner who played in the Champions League final,
uh-huh,
Jude Bellingham, who's Real Madrid star player,
yeah,
Elliot Anderson, who's just gone to Man City for 130 million, Harry Kane playing up front, who's scored 100 million goals this season, and then their wingers, Anthony Gordon's gone to Barcelona. Like, we're still talking about world-class players here who should be able to hold the ball better than they do.
I don't know, yeah.
It has to be a mentality.
I think they're world-renowned players. I'm not sure they're world-class players.
World-class probably a stretch too far for most of them. But top-level players, let's say.
Yeah, they were.
Top-level players should be able to string a few passes together.
Yeah, they suddenly looked a bit average, but like the 20% possession is...
And I do think that's where what the Premier League's really lacking a lot is developing actual players who can hold the ball under pressure. Like, the Premier League's incredibly physical, incredibly fast. Pep Guardiola has changed the way the teams play. But, say, take Arsenal, for example, this year. When pressed, they were not that great on the ball. And you could say that a lot about the England players as well, is that they're fantastic when they're given time and space and things are going well. But when the push comes to shove and when teams put them under pressure, they start kicking the ball away and losing their heads. So, like, that's either a skill thing or it's a mentality thing.
Well, I think
yeah, but Argentina aren't great either. That's the other side of it.
No, there's a will to win. There's a will to win there, and there's a knowledge about how to do it. And I do think the weight of history, that Argentina team know what it means to win the World Cup and knows how to do it. So they have that kind of steely confidence. If England were to finally win a tournament, It could be like the flowering of France after they win a tournament, or Spain when they win their first tournament.
I think it will happen. Like, I don't think they're too far away from doing that. But I wonder what they do next, right? So the last Euros, they picked all the flair players, right? And Southgate was criticised for that, like shoehorning the likes of Palmer and Bellingham into the team, and then bringing and Foden, sorry, starting and all that. And this time he's gone the opposite as Tuchel's left out a lot of stars to fit the team ethic, and it's the same result. They've gone out with a whimper both times. So I'd be really interested to see what they do at the home Euros and the next World Cup, because they've tried it. In fairness to England, like, they have tried a lot of different things since 2010, which was probably their most devastating defeat in terms of being trounced.
Well,
they invented the England DNA after that.
Kenny in the comments is actually saying that it is English DNA. He said, "When are people going to blame England's mentality of sitting back when they score, which has been present for years now? It is in their football DNA."
When are they going to? That's all that's been said.
Yeah. Great tweet from a guy called Matt McCarthy. "English Sports Talk Radio has been an incredible listen tonight. Angry hosts, despondent callers, drunk guys forcing their wives to take the phone because she knows more than the manager, Irish and Scottish people calling in and trolling the entire audience. Tremendous." I do intend to listen to as much of that as I can over the next couple of days, just to, you know, hook it to my veins. It's terrible that I feel so schadenfreude. I didn't during the game, but it's afterwards. It's like, it's the Telegraph.
This is the thing with the
game marred by dirty tricks. What was it?
The Telegraph had a piece up on their online section this morning of every dirty Argentinian tackle. And they had it labeled minute by minute. But I would challenge any person who thinks they're not against England in major tournaments to talk about how they feel today and say they're sad.
No, I hadn't seen this. "Messi magic eclipses even greatest of England players" is the headline over the double page spread in the Telegraph for the player ratings, right? And so they give each player a rating, as you would do in the player rating. Then you total them up, right? Yeah. England, Pickford 7, Stones 6, Jed Spence 8, Elliot Anderson 7, Bellingham 7, Kane 5, Reece James 7, Mark Gahey 6, Declan Rice 7, Morgan Rogers 7, Anthony Gordon 7. Total. I'll let you, if you could go to maths, you can do that. Emi Martinez 7, Ramiro 6, Tagliafico 5, Paredes 4, Enzo Fernandez 8, Alvarez 7, Molina 5, Lisandro Martinez 7, Simeone 6, Alexis 8, Messi 9. If you're good at maths, you'll know that the England total comes in at 74, and the winners of the match, Argentina, the better team, their total comes in at 72.
Paredes was the best player for Argentina in the first half, easily. And Molina changed the game.
How does that
on the right wing?
How does that? No one sits. No one goes. I know we're up against deadline here, but like, you've given England more than Argentina. You know, we add them all up at the end. Did you know that? Well done, lads. I love it. Sorry, that's why it's so enjoyable, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, I did feel a lot of sympathy for the players, but this shit.
Yeah, I don't know if I felt much sympathy this time. They gave it away. It was theirs. If they wanted it, it was theirs. Argentina ain't that good. They looked awfully, awfully decent in the last half an hour. But like, so England says to them, let's play attack versus defence. Mm. And Argentina said, fantastic, thanks very much.
Did Argentina surprise you how good they were?
I just went on a rant about how they're not good.
No, but did...
No, they were great.
In the last 25 minutes?
Not really, no. Like, they have good players, but like, if Argentina did the same thing to England, if it's the total reverse, right, they went 1-0 up and they went backs against the wall as an attack versus defence, I'm sure a lot of the players that you named out there to justify their world-renowned status, I'm sure they would have stepped up and started playing a bit of ball. I'm not surprised that Rodrigo De Paulo came on. Good player. Can whip in a lovely delivery. It's all kind of basic stuff. It's very basic at that level when you stand back. They do this in training all the time. It's a training exercise to allow technical players to excel. I wasn't surprised at all.
Do you think they're going to get beat by Spain?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the obvious thing to say. But then you see that the semi-final, right? And you see the desperation they had against Egypt. They'll be able to dig something out.
The only thing that Spain, they haven't played a team who have a weird fetish of going 1-0 down,
and who have like the wherewithal to be out of a game but get back into it.
And Spain have yet to go 1-0 down themselves.
If you were to use the Gilesy...
But I think they'll win.
If you were to use the Gilesy barometer of would they kill their granny? Any of those Spain players, would they kill their granny to win this World Cup?
No, I mean, Argentina would do it just for fun. Like,
the Argentina players would murder their entire families.
Yeah, which granny are you talking about? Yeah. It would be the Argentina question back. But
you want them both?
I've already done it at the last World Cup, but I'll bring her back from the dead and do it again.
But the Spanish, you know, they're lovers, not fighters. It's going to be a nice clash of chemistries. As Argentina probably tried to do the same thing as they did against England to Spain. They'll try to kick them off the park. But the only idea is that Spain will be quicker on the ball. So won't be able to catch them.
I don't know if you noticed after the game. So before the match, the Argentinian dressing room and dugout were at pains to point out that it's just a match. It has nothing to do with the war. Nothing to do with the situation that went on between the two countries. And then after the game, Giovanni Lo Celso brings out a flag that says that the
Las Malvinas son Argentinas.
Yeah. Could get sanctioned for that.
Saw that.
It's good job that he's not going to play a single second. So if he does get sanctioned, it's not.
Actually, got kicked out.
England back in team 33.
Back in the Falklands, back in action. Into the final.
I think if you watch the build up to that match, I think the Argentinian players weren't really buying into the idea that this is just a match.
It feels to me like one of the great World Cup semi-finals. It had a bit of everything.
I would have loved extra time, notwithstanding we have to get up in the morning.
Yeah, there was a part of me that was relieved for that exact reason, but it would have been worth it for one night.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable because statistically it was a horrendous game. It was an all-time bad game in the first half, but that didn't in any way impact my enjoyment of it. It was just great. I loved the immediate needle of the match. Which somehow still took me by surprise a bit that it would be like that.
Yeah, Gavin Cooney said during the game that to understand the World Cup, you need to understand that match because it was so bad, but it was completely magnetic.
Yeah.
That was not a good football match. We were arguing about this outside of the office with Matt, or outside of the studio with Matthew there earlier, or I was rather, that he didn't enjoy it. Not that he didn't enjoy it happening last night. His argument was that if it wasn't England, you wouldn't enjoy what the Argentinians were doing last night. I'm not sure I agree. I enjoy that type of behaviour on a football pitch.
Also, the stakes are so high. It's so tense. I love that, no?
Yeah.
It's
brilliant.
There's nothing really except sport where you don't know what the outcome is going to be. Like even the best movies and some people really like theatre or music. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a totally different element to this where... And maybe the best movies can do it. But like, it doesn't matter to an entire country. This stuff, particularly the World Cup, because it's such history, they're still banging on about Maradona. And they will be forever now. 64 years of hurt. Never stop me dreaming.
But
it's coming home. It's coming home.
I actually got a...
Football's coming home, it's coming home. It's coming, football's coming home.
You know, if you sing the song like that, I can picture a busload of England fans travelling from the stadium singing it like that. Kind of like an Almost Famous when they start singing Any Dancer.
I got a text from a friend who lives in London and he said the Irish fireman put that song on straight after the match. When in London. Which is great. The Argentinian side, though, they are the most likable bunch of hated footballers that you could possibly assemble. Like everyone hates them day to day.
Will you stick with them when Messi retires?
I thought I'd had enough of them until this game.
Yeah, it's all Messi, isn't it?
I thought I'd had enough of them until this game, and then suddenly the game goes on and on and on, and when the shot goes in, you're out of your seat.
They're dickheads with a bit of charm. So I think that's where they captivate. They happen to have the best who ever played.
Angels.
Emi Martinez is feeling his hole when they were 2-1 up. Did you see that? It's like, I've caught the ball. It's going to rub my arse here. Like,
he was smiling when he fell down, which is great. So for the first hour, these lads are dickheads. Keep them away from me. And then the last half hour was like, oh no, they can play a bit. Yeah, they can play a bit. They're a good team and they create loads of opportunities. They really destroyed England's left, didn't they? They repeatedly got down their own right channel.
I thought Chad Spence was pretty good for 70 minutes.
A huge amount of praise at halftime, yeah.
Yeah, but then
he was making some lads in the first half. In fairness,
yeah, and it was he was an attacking outlet for them in a way that they didn't have much attacking outlet. But then certainly in the key moment, in his highlights reel. And in the highlights reel of this World Cup and forevermore, they'll be like, why didn't you just close down? Could you maybe have taken a few more steps? You know, like, oh, your toe was sore. Okay, fair enough. I appreciate that.
On his way to Everton. Reportedly, yeah. Just looked it up there. 2 days ago, £40 million bid should be accepted. What about Kane and Bellingham? Who have bailed England out repeatedly.
Yeah,
who are all-timers. Harry Kane's the most appearances for an outfield player in England's history. These are iconic generational players. So I'm asking the question from that status alone. However, but when you, if you want to be super harsh and critical, when you really need them, the last half hour, didn't get much of them. You could always say that's the system. That's the way they chose to play. They were always going to lose. When Harry Kane was the sole man up front, you're not going to see much of Harry Kane now.
No, I think... they would have been better playing Harry Kane in midfield.
Well, that's where the goal comes from. It's Kane dropping deep.
Just reading Miguel's Tuchel stuff there about how what's the point in paying all the money, and he's retweeted Thomas Muller. I can't believe and understand how England approached the game after their leading. I can't understand how they invited Argentina to play one cross after another in perfect crossing positions. So obviously Germany is looking at Tuchel now. Well, you can stay over there because we've got Jurgen Klopp. We're going to be fine. And I don't know if he survives this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I would have said to you, that's a bit sensationalist, but I think you might have a point.
Does he get a job in England again?
He gets loads of jobs.
You know, I think he does.
He's obviously...
Like you can't analyse his tournament without talking about the semi-final. But what kind of World Cup did England have?
Well, look, it's really easy, but the players who aren't there versus the players who did come and the total uselessness. So, Henderson... I know it's unfortunate that he wasn't fit, but look, maybe he springs Henderson from the bench last night to be the one who actually does stuff. Yeah. I don't know about that either, because his career had essentially, you know, he's not first choice for every big game for his club.
For Brentford?
He's not. Yeah. They don't pick him. There's periods of the season where he's in and out. I don't know. I think that's... Tuchel was a bit clever for his own good, and then it seems to have come back to bite him in the hole.
Is it Pat Ryan and Ben O'Connor? Is it Gareth Southgate and is it Thomas Tuchel? Or is it the combined culture? Someone in the comments here, calling, are predicting that Pep will be the next manager, following up with Pep will be rubbish in the last stages too.
Sorry, wouldn't you, if you're the English FA, put the phone call in?
Well, he obviously knows he knows English players incredibly well.
Now, per Jurgen Klopp, if that happens.
There's going to be the 115 charges coming out at some point, and what did he know and when did he know it? That'll be a big scandal. Yeah. It'll be in the pint of wine. He could probably survive that, though.
I think Pep's had plenty of experience in writing off controversy throughout his career and coming out clean from a certain amount of shit.
I'd imagine he'd only take it for a tournament rather than the build-up. I don't think there's enough in it for Pep.
Well, you say, I mean...
He wants a sabbatical, at least, I'd say.
Yeah, but it's effectively a sabbatical. You know.
In 2 years.
Oh, I'm doing all the work here.
Well, the Tuchel started late, didn't he? They announced him, he didn't start for a few months. Wasn't there a Hamer Hagrid something going on there?
I'm in my bunker in Barcelona watching all the video, and sure, I know all the players really well.
I like he won. No, like, if the same thing happened and Pep was manager in 2 years' time... I don't even think you'd be blaming Pep. That's a good thing for Pep. Well, this is obviously an English problem.
Yeah.
Because we've had couple of really good managers in a row here, and they can't do any better than a guy who had only managed Middlesbrough before that.
Pep would have picked that team last night, and everybody said, he's in his own head. What's the story with that?
Do you think the 11 was as good as it could be, considering who they had in the squad?
I would have stuck with Nick O'Reilly.
I guess he was worried about O'Reilly's defensive acumen.
Yes.
Against your man.
I don't think there was a massive upgrade. And after that, you can quibble. I would have had Morgan Rogers in the team the whole
earlier.
Time.
Where would you play him?
As a second 10. In the Villa style, they have 2-4-6.
At the Euros, that was more similar, the formation. With here, it was a clear... obvious what they were doing with the width. And then the widest of wide players that they've been playing all tournament didn't see a second of action. That was a strange thing in Noni Madueke.
Is the problem with Rodgers not that he can be brilliant but also anonymous for large...
I don't think his job is to get on the ball and dictate the pace of play. He's like he's a forward. He's a forward who can come deep and dribble, and they didn't do any of that with him last night. Mm. They didn't. He wasn't breaking the lines the way that he needed to be.
Either way, Pico Lopez will have played against the 2026 World Cup finalists and done pretty well. 0-0 and an extra time defeat.
And Floriana. And there's nobody else in the history of the game who's ever been able to do that in the space of 2 weeks.
I think this guy is acknowledging that he's living the best time of his life right now.
So I'm getting free suits yesterday and everything.
Yep.
Nice bit of clobber for him.
Yep.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Football on Off the Ball.
Yeah, I've just been told that we've broken a few records tonight, which is nice, and I'm delighted for the players, because as sloppy as we were last week, they were excellent tonight. We really were. They controlled the tempo, the energy in the game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.